Hudson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Days after flash flooding swept away two children north of Philadelphia, the body believed to be that of one of them, a two-year-old girl, is found 32 miles away in the Delaware River. Upper Makefield Fire Company Chief Tim Brewer.
District officers, along with the Philadelphia Marine Unit, was immediately dispatched to the area. The child was located in debris against the pier at the area of the waste management plant.
Her nine-month-old brother is still missing. How hot is it in portions of the southern half of the U.S.?
Oh, my God, there's cars on fire.
In fact, it was so hot in Phoenix yesterday, a fire caused propane tanks to explode and fly into the air near Sky Harbor Airport. And in southern Florida, the heat and humidity are pushing outdoor workers to the limit. The hot weather contributed to the death of a 29-year-old farm worker in Homestead. His family said he felt unwell just before collapsing. Currently, there is no federal standard requiring heat breaks for outdoor workers.
That's CBS's Carter Evans reporting. President Biden has chosen Admiral Lisa Franchetti to lead the Navy. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
She'll be the first female CNO in the service's 247-year history, and first female officer to be a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And she currently serves as the Navy's Vice Chief of Staff, or number two.
Tributes are pouring in for music legend Tony Bennett, who has died at age 96. Best known for his signature hit, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, the singer released more than 70 albums throughout his decades-long career and earned 20 Grammys. CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports.
A fan placed roses on Tony Bennett's Hollywood Walk of Fame star following news of the legendary singer's passing.
How do you keep the music playing?
With his smooth, warm voice, Bennett's interpretation of the standards earned him generations of fans. His most famous admirers ranged from Frank Sinatra to Lady Gaga, and both became close friends.
He had the most amazing career that is unprecedented. We'll probably never see anything like that again.
Among the tributes pouring in, Sir Elton John called Bennett the classiest singer, man, and performer you will ever see.
Bennett, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 2016, died 2 weeks shy of his 97th birthday. Lionel Messi's debut game day with Inter Miami has arrived. He was not in the starting lineup for tonight's game, with Inter Miami taking on Cruz Azul in a League's Cup match at his new home stadium. He checked in early in the second half. Messi signed a 2.5-year contract with Inter Miami this past weekend, paying him between $50 million and $60 million annually. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
When you have trouble sleeping, it's tough. When kids have trouble sleeping,
Mom, I can't sleep. Dad, just one more story?
For nights like this, try Vicks Pure Z's Kids. Our great-tasting gummies are specially formulated for kids with a unique blend of botanicals and a low dose of melatonin to support their natural sleep cycle. Best of all, they're drug-free and non-habit-forming. Help your child fall asleep naturally with Pure Z's Kids Gummies. Consult with a doctor before use. For ages 4 and up.
Parents, are you tired of helping put your kids' shoes on? They're squirming, watching cartoons, anything but helping. Luckily, it's Skechers to the rescue. Introducing new hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Footwear you can just get your kids to step into and their shoes are on. You don't need to bend over. You don't need to sit on the floor and try to wrangle them on. And they're available in all types of Skechers styles, with and without laces, and most are machine washable. Find Skechers slip-ins for kids or mom and dad at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies, overnight, with a chance for isolated storms. Lows of aloft around 56. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for isolated thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 82. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night, lows around 57, mainly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
And food menus at Kern Earth Lounge, MN.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave him.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we got a jam-packed show today. We got State Representative Jessica Hansen on. We got later on in the show, we have State Senator Mary Kunish, and along with Wendy Pilot with our sacred animal section, and she sent us an awesome clip from New York. Hey, I just want to start off here with welcoming State Representative Jessica Hansen. Got a lot to talk about in this quick, short segment. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, Robert. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Right on. So, hey, I visited you at the state capitol, saw the big stack of bills and things you were working on, but this one that we're going to be talking about a little bit in the and what's going to be happening here in August is one that you've been working on for day one. Do you want to just fill our audience in and then talk about the celebration that we're about to have?
Yes. So I have been a cannabis advocate and activist for, I think, six, coming up on 7 years now. And this was before it was really being talked about by either of our mainstream two major parties, right? And we wanted to make sure that the people's voice of Minnesota was heard. And so we organized. We were a very multi-partisan, multi-racial group that came together to build the program that we wanted to see here in Minnesota. We have successfully built what I consider, and a lot of people consider, to be the best model for full legalization in the nation. And that's something we should be really proud of here in Minnesota. We have home growing starting on August 1st this year. Also, there is legal possession allowed as of August 1st this year. So you can have 2 ounces on your person in public. If you're in your car, it needs to be in your trunk, but up to 2 ounces is allowed to be held in public. And then at home, up to 2 pounds per adult. And so this is home growing product most of the time when folks have that much at home. And you are allowed to have that and, you know, see how your botanical green thumb does if you're able to grow at home. There's a lot of great groups, Facebook groups, and other social groups that are forming around how to get started on that if you're interested in that. So I encourage folks to check that out. There's also some resources available at the Minnesota Cannabis College. They're offering some summer school courses about cannabis business 101, growing 101, and some other really great things. And the big thing I wanted to tell you about, I was on a few weeks back and told you that there was going to be a big celebration and I didn't have all the details, but now I do. So on Tuesday, August 1st, from 5 to 11 p.m., we are going to be having this event at First Avenue. And this is to celebrate the work that we did to legalize cannabis in Minnesota. So go to their website. You can buy tickets. They're very, very affordable. And if you can't afford one, just reach out to me and let me know, and we will make sure that you can make it. So it's between $5 and $10 for the tickets. There will be a whole line of music. So you can see on the flyer here some of the folks who will be joining us, including DJ Espada and Maria Issa Perez Vega will be there as well. And so we have a really jam-packed show. There will be a talking portion of the program, about 30 minutes from about 6 to 6:30, somewhere in there, we're thinking. And so we encourage folks, if you'd like to hear from some of the people who worked on this and some of the staff who supported us, that's what we'll be doing. But I've been waiting all year for this event. So to say I'm excited is an understatement, but I really hope everyone can join us. There are plenty of tickets left and plenty of space. There's vendors. You can get to know some really great people too.
Well, you know, I got to give you a big congratulations too, because I know you've been on the show in the past and we've talked in the past. And I know like the last cycle and even the cycle before election cycle, it seemed like the Republicans were trying to get some fake legalized pot people to disrupt elections. And it's good to know that this has been a Democratic, and along with you, Jessica, force to move ahead. And I'm glad that we have done this in a good way. And, you know, this is a medicine for a lot of people out there. And it's not just a recreational kind of thing. There's people, you know, we've heard so many stories over and over again, Jessica, about how this has helped people through things from like chemo and so on.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we wanted to make sure that we were a home-growing state is because plant medicine is medicine for so many people, and we wanted to make sure that we protected that, because sometimes the way that this plant is grown is not in line with what people are looking to use it for when they're using it for plant medicine. And so when you can grow at home, you can really grow that plant in the way that you need to and you want to and that's right for you. And, you know, some people want to grow for that reason at home. Other people don't want to participate in a taxed market, right? And so this allows right. you to also participate outside of that and grow it yourself too. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're continuing to protect plant medicine. I know there was some news that came out today in Minneapolis, which I think some people are really excited about, but I am looking forward to making sure that we continue those conversations in a more multicultural way and in a way that includes everybody at the table, because decisions like that that are made without the people who have been most affected or the people who have been nurturing and caring for this plant for longest really should be at the table. So I'm looking forward to seeing more voices, we'll put it, at the table as this conversation keeps going forward. I was a bit disappointed to see how that kind of rolled out, but, you know, it's never too late to do the right thing. So I'm hoping that we can get that going.
Yeah. And I got to just back up a little bit, too. Now, at one time I heard it was 250 pages, the bill, but there's been extensive research and things in this bill. It isn't just a lily milly, or is that how you say that? Milly lily? Or, you know, and just thrown together. There's been a lot of research, right?
Yeah, we studied the models in the other legal states to see what they did wrong, what they did right, what did we want to incorporate, what did we not want to incorporate. This this movement from the beginning has been founded in justice, making sure that we are righting the wrongs of our past and also setting up the future for a reparative future. And what does that mean and what does that look like? So things like our Can Renew Fund is a fund that I encourage nonprofits and people doing community work to improve social determinants of health, that they look to this, because there will be grants available there to continue to help recover and heal in some of the communities that have been most harmed. We have other grant programs all over Minnesota, but this is specifically a brand new one that the Office of Cannabis Management will be have under their umbrella and will be managing. And so this is the most exciting part for me, at least, is that we have successfully built this on a platform that we were told we would never get it on. So I think that's probably one of the biggest pieces.
That's awesome. Jessica, you're a doer and always have been, and I appreciate what else do you got? Well, before I ask you that, because we only got like a minute and a half left, let everybody know again about August 1st one more time, and then I'll jibber jabber with you for the last 30 seconds.
Yes. So Tuesday, August 1st at First Avenue from 5 to 11 p.m., we will be having the Legalized It event with a number of different DJs and musical performers. You don't want to miss this. There will be a surprise musical performer and possibly a few guest appearances from folks that you may want to see. So make sure you get your tickets. They're affordable, available on the First Avenue's website. If you just type in Legalized It First Avenue in Google, it will bring up as the first link.
Yeah, I really like that tease. Oh, that was a good one. Hey, you're a doer. So what else is up next here when the session resumes next year? What else you got cooking?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little early to tell, but, you know, we want to continue to make sure that Minnesota is the best place to live, work, and raise a family. We want to continue to make sure that our kids are safest at school and make sure that they are being given a world that we can be proud to leave for them and continue to build the world for their grandchildren and everybody thereafter. We do have to remember that the elections are going to be next year, and we are on the precipice of being able to really secure a just and equitable future, because every vote counts and every vote matters. So I hope whoever's thought about going out for office or running for office, consider this the first time you've been asked. Think about it, look into it, get involved in a local campaign early, and those are the first steps we can start taking.
Wow. Thank you, State Representative Jessica Hansen. Up next, State Senator Mary Kunish. Thanks, State Representative. Awesome segment. We'll see you, and congratulations, and we'll see you, if not before, on the 1st. Ho-wa. We'll be right back after this short message.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. And we've been happy to have them support us over the years. And it's just an excellent, excellent organization. So, Haley, are you excited for August 1st? I know you know friends that, you know, partake and whatnot. Oh,
My friends, yes. I think everyone is very excited who partakes in this activity. Yeah, I did not know about the First Avenue event. So on the little commercial break, I'm over here looking it up on their website. But it looks to be pretty fun. So that so August 1st, that will be on a Tuesday.
Oh.
So, yes. Just a little reminder about that in case. Well, I guess, you know, you don't really get hangovers, I guess. So people don't have to worry about it the next day.
Right, exactly. Hey, we got State Senator Mary Kunish on. Let's welcome her. Great to see you, State Senator. We just had State Representative Jessica Hansen on talking about the big First Avenue party that's going to be happening August 1st in regards to the legalization of marijuana in Minnesota. So good to have you on, and always good to see you. And welcome to Native Roots Radio.
No, wonderful. Yeah, that that celebration for the legalization or for that recreation of marijuana is it's going to be a big one. And I think it's going to be celebrated across the state as well. I was at a conference this week and there was a other legislator from Washington State. And he was talking about the incredible bill, the legislation that passed here in Minnesota, and what a great job that we did at the legislature. But, you know, we'd been working on that for, you know, 7 years. The 7 years I've been in the legislature, we have been working on fine tuning and, you know, putting together the best, most safe, most equitable legislation that could be possible. And that entailed going out into Minnesota, into a lot of communities, and talking to folks about, you know, what are their thoughts on it. And so it really was developed through the people of Minnesota. But I think that at the end of the day, it was an exceptional bill.
Yeah, and that's what State Representative Hansen was saying, too, that it's probably the best bill in the country. And I know you and I have talked about this that I don't remember, but it was like 250 page long. I mean, it was something like that, right?
Yeah, it was very comprehensive. Let's put it that way. We looked under every rock. We addressed every issue possible. We looked at what worked in the other states that had already legalized it, what didn't work, and really tried to do it the best way right off the bat. And, you know, that bill had to go through almost every single committee in the state legislature.
Wow.
You know, if there is a education part of it, they wanted education to look at it. If it was, you know, economic development, judiciary, I mean, like every committee, taxes. And so it was heard, you know, over 20 times in this last session alone. And a lot of questions were posed, and not everybody agreed with going ahead with this. But at the end of the day, I think that Minnesotans were ready for it.
Wow. You know, that makes me think of a question. Do you know of any other bill since you've been either a representative or state senator that's had that much scrutiny? Because that sounds like over 20 hearings or different.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of any quite to that extent. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, it's going to affect everything. It's going to have its fingerprint on everything in our state, in our communities. You know, when you look at, I said education, right, healthcare, know, policing, taxes, because, you know, there will be taxes charged on these on the cannabis. And then economic development was such an important part of it. And I'm really glad to say that the authors of the bill and the legislators that worked so hard on it for all of these years you know, wanted to make sure that it was the communities, the business people that have been left out for so long, got the first bite at the of the apple, right? And I think just the other week we heard that Red Lake, they're ready to legal, or they voted to legalize their recreational marijuana and begin selling it both tribal and non-tribal members starting August 1st.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a huge economic boon to so many of the tribes and the the disenfranchised. So I'm curious myself, and I'll be watching all of this to see how it plays out.
So do they have to have a compact with the state in order to do that, or how, or are they just selling it on their sovereign land?
Well, I believe they have had to have that agreement and understanding with the state. Mm-hmm. And I think they would have been able to launch their program a lot earlier if it had, because they, if I'm not mistaken, they have been also producing medical marijuana, but they weren't able to transport it. And so that was the big hang up. And because the law doesn't go into effect till August 1st, they had to wait for that. So, you know, they're ready to go, and they're hoping that, you know, not only will they be able to have some economic investment in their community, but they're hoping that it'll work to help against the opioid epidemic. And a lot of the money that is going to be, you know, gleaned from this is going to go towards substance abuse prevention and, you know, rehabilitation of those sort of things.
Wow, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. And that's a thing, I guess, tribes all over the country should look at, too, because we have friends all over the country. And I think the only way to really make a lot of money is going from seed to dispensary. And I think, like you said, they've been doing medical marijuana. So now they're ready to go. And that's exciting to hear.
Yeah. And, you know, they have, you know, they've been under scrutiny. And so they're the marijuana that the tribes cultivate already, you know, have that high quality of standard, and it's safe. You know, for a long time, marijuana has been coming from who knows where, and it's being laced with all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Well, we know that this is safe to use, and you know, the fact that just, and as you mentioned, I do believe there was compact that was negotiated with our state administrator, that there's going to be a lot of, you know, oversight, especially in the beginning, because we want to make sure that harm is not done.
Well, that's a really good point that I forgot and didn't think of, is that, you know, we've been hearing lately, too, marijuana's been laced with fentanyl and killing people. Yeah. So that's a super good point, because you know where you're getting this stuff. It isn't from, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry in the alley like it was when I was a kid. I heard.
or growing it out, you know, growing it out in the backyard or whatever.
Well, that was,
I think that's going to make... I think that's going to make a big difference, the fact that we will now be able to track and trace any of the really harmful chemicals that might be put into marijuana going down the road, and hopefully avoid some of these really harmful issues and the addictions.
Wow. Yeah. And I know, you know, a lot of people, and we talked a little bit to State Representative Hansen, that a lot of people have to use this for medicine. We've heard so many times that, you know, our relatives have gone through chemo or things that can't sleep or eat, and it's really helped.
Yeah, there are a lot of medicinal reasons.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Wolves in the state are on the prowl. Here's Brittany Merlot.
Wisconsin's wolf debate goes wild. With the population a problem since 1999, when the state established a 350 limit, wolves have grown now to a number over 1,000. While some argue there is no need for a limit, others are concerned about other animal populations growing. A study done a few years ago shows that counties that had wolves in them had a less risk of vehicle collisions with deer, which could represent thousands of dollars of reduced damage. The Wisconsin DNR released a draft of a new management plan this past November. However, no specific population number was presented.
The Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Championships is already underway at Lake Wasecha. The four-day tournament began yesterday with the individual competitions. Today and over the weekend, the ski teams will compete. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies, overnight, with a chance for isolated storms. Lows of aloft around 56. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for isolated thunderstorms tomorrow. High of 82. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows around 57. Mainly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share.
And food menus at CrooneersLoungeMN.com. Hey,
I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we were talking a little bit. I want to finish up on our discussion about marijuana here in Red Lake. And Haley has a question, State Senator.
Yes. So I was talking, well, Arvina Martin from Emerge Wisconsin was hosting this past Tuesday, and we were talking about this also. But with Red Lake, how does that, I mean, do they have like a plan to protect the community and the children with so many people coming on the reservation to purchase this? Or do you think there's going to be that much foot traffic for that?
I would imagine that there would be more traffic, especially, let's say, during the summertime when folks are up at their cabins and that sort of thing. That's a really good question. I haven't really asked about that, but I'm going to think that that was part of their plan and that the dispensaries will be, you know, in locations that are going to hopefully not have a negative impact on the communities. Might need more people on the reservations, but you know, Red Lake has always been really careful about monitoring who's on the land and what's going on. And so I would imagine that this would just make them step it up a little bit.
Would they have a dispensary in the cities, or does it have to stay in Red Lake? I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I think they can do off reservation. I was going to say campus, but off reservation as well. So yes, they could have them in a couple of different places, depending where they find it to be the best location. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get Red Lake on and ask them, and we'll have to do
that. Yeah. I mean, Red Lake is so big. I suppose they could even just put it around the perimeters and be able to, you know, supply the needs that folks are asking. But, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, marijuana is a historic plant. It's been around forever. And of course, been used for so many different ways by our ancestors. And it wasn't until, you know, again, the white people come around and say, "Ooh, this is mind altering. So we have to shut it down." But I think it's just really important that we acknowledge the fact that the right of our tribal governments to regulate their own cannabis industries. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll help in so many ways for our, for our tribes, especially in Indian country. Yep.
Well, and you know, casinos can only do so much, and there's so much saturation. So, I mean, it's good for them to work on their development. The one of the producers, I can't remember who's working today at the mothership, but he said that he heard that Red Lake was looking at opening dispensaries in Warwood and Thief River Falls too. So that's kind of around the perimeter, as you were saying, State Senator.
Yeah, those are still on the reservation. Yep.
So, hey, I always got we were on vacation, Wendy and I, and she's still in New York right now for another week or so. And we kind of had our honeymoon again because it was our anniversary a couple weeks ago. And she always tells me, and I mentioned this yesterday too to one of our guests, is that ask Mary what she wants to talk about. So, Mary, the floor is yours. What would you like to talk about? We were just like interested seeing that Jessica was on, what you had to say about the marijuana being legalized here and whatnot.
Yeah. What do I want to talk about? Gosh, I'm really excited. I had a meeting yesterday with a handful of people and executive director of the MMIR office, Juliet Rudy, around the license plate, the MMIR license plate. That I think should be out by the, you know, at the beginning of the year. It'll be ready for, let me look if I have in my notes when, oh yeah, January 1st, those plates should be available. And we're working on the design of the plate. Of course, we want it to be clear what it, what the message is, but also, you know, be symbolic. So, and for those of that of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I passed legislation this year to create a specialty license plate here in Minnesota to recognize the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives movement. And so that got that passed this session. I know that our many lawmakers do not like to all these specialty license plates out there, but this one was really important, and it was a no-brainer, should we say. So people pay a fee for your license plates, right? And a good chunk of that fee is going to go into the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives permanent office. And we also established a reward fund within the office. And my hope with the reward fund would be to help the office work on cold cases, to offer rewards for information, and do the work that, you know, the investigatory work and the work that they need to do. So the license plate, those dollars will actually go back into that office and hopefully help sustain that office. It's, you know, one of my biggest fears is that it would go away, even though I've been told time and time again, it's not going anywhere. You just never know when, you know, when the majority or the power changes, oftentimes things are kind of pushed aside. So those two pieces of legislation are, I'm really, really excited about. Yesterday was the last day for folks to apply for, to be on the commission to decide on our new state flag and state emblem. So that was on the Secretary of State's page, and we went through and noticed that there were some groups were kind of thin in the applicants, the number of applicants. So we put out word to a bunch of different unique groups. And I think at the end of the day, there's quite a strong interest in being part of that. And, it, you know, so we have, we wanted somebody from, of course, the American Indian community, the Latinx community, the African-American, all of the our groups, but also the general public. And I took a look through and at all the names, there were a lot of people that applied to be on that committee. So we should have that done.
Nobody asked me. Nobody asked me. They would probably, you know that I want just to say land back on it, right?
I could have sworn I sent you a text to say, hey, we need people, but I, that might have been up here and not on my fingertips. but this time next year, we'll have a new emblem and a new flag to be wailing around. So those are some of the exciting things that we've been doing here in Indian country. I think, I don't know if Representative Hansen told you, but a few weeks ago at the White Earth, I think it was White Earth, powwow, they invited all of us legislators up to the powwow and recognized us up there. And it was the first time that all of us had gotten together in one place, like one powwow. Usually one of us is here or two of us is there, you know. But the lieutenant governor was there, and we four legislators were there. Representative Hansen came up to support, and it was just really a moving experience. And so, again, thank you for inviting us up there and acknowledging us. It's still powwow season.
Yeah, you got a nice blanket, too. I saw that. I like that picture.
Oh, my gosh, yes. They gave us all, they gifted us all a star quilt, which is, you know, I know. It was really moving. It was very moving. I was not expecting that at all. But it was good to be up there and to see the people that I knew and meet a lot of new people and, you know, acknowledge the good work that we're all doing at the legislature. You know, I'm always in awe, especially the last few years, how many of our Native folks and leaders are showing up at the legislature and, you know, talking about the issues that are really important to them, but also just to be there and to be listening at the different committees and staying up to date on what's happening. I think, you know, for generation after generation, there wasn't that kind of connection with the tribes. Right. In fact, they probably were not welcome and you know, given the evil eye if they showed up, certainly not encouraged to be a part of it, let alone all these compacts and agreements. And so it's just been really encouraging these last couple of years to see that our tribal community feels like that's now their place to be. They have the right to be there and are happy to speak.
And we all know why. We have representation. We have you. We have three other lawmakers and a lieutenant governor. People are jealous of all the great work that Minnesota's been doing, but also in the Indian country, it's well known. We're very well situated, and you all talk about it's a place where we're normally not welcomed, and we are welcomed because you guys are there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we've just been able to educate legislators and staff members and the public on so many of the issues that plague our communities. I mean, sometimes they're just little issues like letting kids who are graduating wear an eagle feather on their graduation cap. We had to legislate that. You know, allowing students to wear their sacred tobacco in their tobacco pouches, you know, under their shirt. That was not allowed, you know, hampering tobacco on campus. And I think the growing awareness and acceptance of religious and spiritual practices is, you know, really blooming across the world. And just as, you know, we have made it available for places for our Muslim folks to go and pray during the day, now our students can smudge during the day if the school can put something together. So big changes, good changes.
Right on. And I got to say thank you for serving and being on our show. It's always great listening to what you have to say. We'll see you next week. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Up next, Wendy Pilot with our Sacred Animal section. Ho-wa!
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your neighbors are talking about the Blue Line Extension, connecting North Minneapolis, Crystal, Robbinsdale, and Brooklyn Park to the light rail transit system.
I feel like a lot of times people, when they think about transit, it's like, well, it's a bus, it's a train, it's whatever. But it really isn't. It's a lifeline for many communities, and it feels like something that we really need here.
Hear more of this story and others at yourblueline.org.
Powderhorn Art Fair is returning to Powderhorn Park to celebrate its 32nd anniversary, August 5th and 6th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. The fair will feature a vibrant and diverse selection of art from over 150 exhibiting artists from across the country. Whether you're just starting an art collection or a seasoned buyer, they'll have the perfect piece for you. Plus, there's more. Immersive art installations offer fairgoers a chance to explore interactive experiences that transport them into an artist's vision. In addition to all the fantastic art, over a dozen food vendors serving up sweet and savory delights will be ready for you and other hungry fairgoers. A Family Zone will offer creative activities for kids of all ages and entertainment each day. The fair and activities are free to attendees. Make plans to head to Powderhorn Park on August 5th and 6th. Learn more at powderhornartfair.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
You know, I never hear our dogs howl. You know, our chihuahuas howled all the time. Mickey and Poncho howled. All we'd have to do is start howling, and they'd howl along with us, but Wanda don't howl. She don't play.
Sadie doesn't either.
That's crazy. It must be a McKee thing. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has sent us a segment from New York, and I can't wait to hear it. It's Fun Facts Friday with Wendy Pilot.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hana G. Hihani. Thank you, Robert. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And today is Friday, so we're going to be talking about some animal facts. Some are fun facts, and some are serious facts. So let's start off with a fun fact. And I think I talked about this on the show once before, but it's really funny. I came across it again in my reading online. But here's a fun fact. A puffer fish. Puffer fish is a fish that goes around, lives in the ocean. But when it's attacked or instigated, it puffs up like a ball. And what it does, it releases toxins to scare off and to poison other predators. But here's the really funny thing is, dolphins are not affected in that same way. It actually gets them high. So the toxin that the pufferfish releases, the dolphins get high. And so dolphins have been known to purposely inflate the pufferfish and pass them around to their dolphin friends for fun and to get high. And I think that's a really funny fact. I'd like to see that in person. It's getting really hot, and we're having hot heat waves all over the United States. Up in the Midwest here next week, we're going to be in the upper 90s, and it's really going to be hot and humid. So I came across a couple of articles here on signs of a heat stroke, and this is for your dog. So heavy panting, lack of coordination, difficulty breathing, vomiting, profuse salivation, heat thirst, or excessive thirst, lethargy, and fever. So those are all the signs of a heat stroke for your dog. But I also read something else, and I didn't know this. So if you have an overheated dog that is showing any of those signs, the first instinct, I would say, for me would be to get some cold water and throw it over your dog and put wet towels all over their back. But if you do that, you will see the opposite effect. Due to the cold, the veins contract, and due to the high temperatures, it says here above 42 degrees, so that's Celsius, that would be over 107 degrees Fahrenheit, the proteins in the blood clot, which makes the blood thick and viscous. Due to the combination of the two, the heart can no longer get the blood, and the organs fail one by one due to lack of oxygen. The result is a very slow but painful death. So if you try to help an overheated dog, this is the way to do it. First, give lukewarm water to drink. Then cool the soles of the feet and chest and lower abdomen with a wet, damp towel. Then put the dog in the shade on the damp towel. So this is really important information if you have a dog. You know, Robert, we're out and about walking in these hot days, and I see people still running with their dogs on hot blacktop, and it's really important not to do that in these hot temperatures. You know, a lot of people think, well, my dog, he's just running just fine. Your dog's going to follow you wherever you go. Your dog will follow you and then just drop dead. So really be careful with your dogs out there and your cats too if they go outside. Our cat Lucy, we let her out for a little while in the backyard, only when we're there. She's never not supervised, and she's an older cat. And just thinking about her, I'm thinking about what is her human equivalent age. So I found a chart, and it's pretty interesting. So here's a kitten. So a kitten is 0 to 6 months old. And the human equivalent is 1 year to 10 years, a kitten. Yeah, I was surprised to hear that. A junior cat is 7 months old to 2 years, and their human equivalent age is 12 years to 24 years. That's a junior cat. An adult cat is 3 years to 6 years old, and the human equivalent age is 28 to 40 years old. Okay, now we're getting into middle age here. Okay, so a mature cat is 7 to 10 years old, and the human equivalent age is 44 to 56 years old. A senior cat, which is 11 to 14 years old, their human equivalent age is 60 to 72 years old. Now, our cat Lucy is 17 years old, so she's considered a super senior. So a super senior is 15 years and beyond. So right here it says, if your cat is 17 years old, their human equivalent age is 84 years old. So our little Lucy is 84 years old. Wow. She's still doing good. She's hanging in there. You know, people know that she has kidney failure. She's had kidney failure for a couple of years now, at least 2 years. Robert and I were giving her subcutaneous fluids to hydrate her and hydrate her kidneys, and that helps her kidney function. Lucy is a really smart cat, so when Robert and I would start to get the bag and the equipment and needles out that we needed to do this, she would hide, and we'd have to wrap her in a towel, and she was really getting to be hard to handle. So now we bring her to the vet every week, and she gets subcutaneous fluids, but she's doing really great. She's stable. We're happy to hear that. But Lucy, who is 17 years old, human equivalent years is 84 years. So, Robert, we hope to keep her healthy for a few more years. And with that, I will give it back to Robert.
Hey, Pina Gigi, thanks, Wendy, so much for these fun fact Fridays. Miss you. And I want to thank State Representative Jessica Hansen for being on, and of course, Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Now.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemiss.org for more.
A public service message from
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.